If you've got exercise-resistant pockets of fat, keep one thing in mind. Pockets are for cell phones, not fat cells. Dr. Frank Lista of the Plastic Surgery Clinic can get rid of fat pockets non-surgically with cryolipolysis. It freezes fat cells in specific areas so your body can just flush them away, forever. Visit theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca and find out how Dr. Lista freezes out fat with no downtime. Theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca. Very cool.
Come right in. Lie down on the couch. The doctor will see you now. This is the true definition of sports psychology. This hour of the Jeff Blair Show begins now. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
So here's what you do, Toronto. You take these moments and you run with them. What can you say about the night Garrett Sparks came into our life? Now, I don't know if it's a one-time thing. I don't know if he's on the verge of becoming the next Scott Darling. Hell, I don't know if he's anything other than an AHL lifer, to be honest. But you know what? That doesn't matter. Think about what we've seen in this city in recent years. We saw the god-awful horror of blue and white disease. We saw its replacement by whatever snake oil Brian Burke was peddling, and quite frankly, it sure ended up looking and smelling like blue and white disease, albeit a different strain. And finally, we saw last year's salute gate, Maple Leafs, the most unlikable collection of athletes in any sport, in any city, I've seen in 35 years of sports reporting. So you know what? You go ahead and cry, Garrett Sparks. You cry like you did in that on-ice interview after that shutout in your NHL debut. You know, you cry for the long bus rides and for the times when you figured this would never happen. You know what? Damn it. You take advantage of this opportunity. And you Leafs fans, well, to quote Ron Wilson, I know I can't believe I'm doing that, let's not go building statues to this guy. Let's just enjoy a team that has so far presented us with what is, on balance, a thoroughly enjoyable, thoroughly professional, thoroughly hardworking season bereft of drama. Instead of players snubbing you post-game, you have a player crying in front of you. And you know what? That might be a little bit of what culture change looks like. I mean, if nothing else, look at what transpired at the ACC Monday night this way. As a Leafs fan, you've been driven to tears for many a year by this team. It's about time a player cried along with you.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
What did it feel like there, soaking it in the Air Canada Centre?
That was indescribable. It was crazy. I don't know. I have nothing. I'm sorry.
That was Garrett Sparks last night in an interview with Chris Simpson of Sportsnet. After his 24-save performance in a 3-0 win over the Edmonton Oilers. Garrett Sparks, ladies and gentlemen, the first Leafs goaltender to post a shutout in his NHL debut. And this is the first time since 1991-92, when they had Felix Potvin, Jeff Reese on the roster, that the Leafs had two homegrown drafted goalies on their roster. What else can you say about Garrett Sparks? It's the Oilers, and they're an awful team. I think Damian Cox had a great line about the Oilers. I think Damian's right. The Oilers, someplace in their offices, have a jersey, an Oilers jersey with Austin Matthews' name in the back, ready to go. But beyond that, beyond the fact that he had a couple of goalposts help him out, I think Mike Babcock called that he had a little bit of pixie dust. Beyond that, guy got a shutout in his NHL debut. And think about how you feel this morning about the Toronto Maple Leafs. And again, I know it's one game. It's one shutout. We don't know what the future holds for Garrett Sparks, let alone Jonathan Bernier. But when's the last time the Leafs have done anything that has driven you or anybody on this team to tears of happiness? Tears of sadness, hell yeah. I mean, pick any day last year. So that's our topic this morning at 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-660-590. You have to think a little bit here. I'm going to ask you, when's the last time you got emotional about the Leafs? You as a fan. Whether it was emotional in a happy way, emotional in a negative way, when was the last time this team made you care one way or another? And as I said in my little intro, I don't know where Garrett Sparks' career is going. I don't know how this season is going to turn out. But man, for one night, you had to be, and you have to be, you have to be a cynic beyond cynicism than even I'm capable of dredging up. And believe me, I can dredge up cynicism with the best of them. You've got to be the Grinch to not feel a little bit of what Garrett Sparks was feeling last night. Eddie Olchuk is one of our regular insiders. He's with the NHL and NBC. Eddie Olchuk joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Eddie, thanks so much for doing this.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Always good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So last year, the Blackhawks found a guy, Scott Darling, rode him for a while, played pretty well, contributed, I think we can say that.
For sure.
What tells you, as a guy who's been around hockey, what tells you that a goaltender, a guy who comes up and is relatively unheralded, what tells you that he's the real deal?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the body of work, and can he find ways to win games? May not be pretty, may not be the way that a lot of goaltending coaches want guys to stop pucks, but if he can do it, you got yourself a goaltender that can win you games. And you know, is one game enough? No. Can you see something in a couple of weeks? Probably still not enough. I think that you got to see a couple of months of body of work and take what the coaches will tell you from practice and video sessions with players, and you go from there. I mean, look, I watched the back end of that game last night, and you know, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, that's a trickle down effect, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Anytime that you have a young goaltender getting an opportunity, and you know, players being much more diligent, players making much headier decisions with pucks and keeping it simple and defense and not dusting off the puck when it's on their stick and just get it, move it, and get it out of the zone and live to fight another day. So, I mean, I think everything goes into that, but I think you need, you know, you need some games. Now, we've seen plenty of guys, Jeff. You've been around a long time as I have. I mean, you see guys come in and go, wow, I mean, this guy is the deal, and the guy gets on an incredible run for a year, and then all of a sudden, he's not the same guy the next season. So it's guarded for sure, but the only way you're going to know is if you put him in there and you let him play. And, you know, you mentioned Scott Darling in Chicago last year. He came up. He had a great training camp. They sent him back. Crawford got hurt. They brought him up. He came up, did a good job. They sent him back. Then they eventually just made a decision that he was going to be their guy. And next thing you know, he comes in relief in the playoffs and plays three or four straight games against Nashville in round one and has a tough game six. Crawford comes in relief, and eventually, you know, the Blackhawks come back after being down 3-0 or 3-1, whatever it was, and win the series. So you need everybody, but it's tough to say, you know, how much time do you have before – you know, until you determine if a guy is a National Leaguer or not.
With all the scouting that goes on these days, of every league, at every sure. level, why do we still see, and again, I'm not saying Garrett Sparks is going to be this guy, but we still see guys, goaltenders in particular, who are capable of, you know, seventh-round picks, whatever, sixth-round picks, come up and end up being regular contributors? What is it about goaltending in particular that, that lends itself to that, to that type of a developmental curve?
Yeah. I'm not sure if there is an answer, really. I mean, I think that the maturation of any player, let alone a goaltender, you know, when a guy gets that opportunity, and when is that? I think for the most part, Jeff, the way teams defend at this level, you know, you can have a game or two. Some teams do it, you know, pretty much 3 out of 4 games is where, mm-hmm. you know, the quality of chances maybe aren't as high at a lower level. So, you know, all he needs to do is make that first save, and then you're going to have guys there, you know, clearing pucks. I'm sure the analytic guys are, you know, I mean, they're just drooling with, you know, with the numbers that, you know, that are out there when it comes to goaltenders and where they're making saves, and are they giving up first chance opportunities? Are they getting scored on second opportunities? And are they, you know, all those type of things. So, mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that there's really an answer. It's just all about opportunity and the style that a team plays and quality of chances that they give up. And, I mean, look what's gone on in Montreal here. I mean, I know Condon's kind of slipped a little bit here, but, I mean, look at the run he was on when Carey Price was hurt, you know, whatever it was, 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, Jeff, right? I mean, mm-hmm. he came in and went, 7-8 games without – you know, without losing in regulation. So I mean, we've seen it. It's not the first time. It's not the last time. But, you know, now it's up to, you know, the staff to continue to work with the young player, regardless if it's Garrett Sparks or Mike Condon or Scott Darling, whoever it is. And but I don't think that there's really – I don't think there's any one particular reason why we've seen guys – do it and be able to come up and have those type of games or have those type of runs. And I just think it's a whole bunch of different answers.
Pleased to be joined by Eddie Olchuk of the NHL on NBC. All right, we saw the Oilers last night. No Connor yeah. McDavid, obviously. But, Eddie, this is a team that, I mean, my God, they're still spinning their wheels. I was going to ask you what's going on there. But, okay.
I mean, you know what? I do. Like, I mean, I think that they're better. I think that there's a lot more structure. I said to you when Todd McClellan got the job, I think he's the perfect guy for that.
Yes, you did.
You know, for the rebuild. And I mean, look, they've been rebuilding for a while. And I know I looked into me again. My brother was there. My second brother was there for, you know, for 7 years or whatever. And, you know, and I think that they have a plan. And I think that they certainly know what they want to do. And they got to get the goaltending thing fixed for sure. And they started the draft. It's, you know, they've needed to start to draft some defensemen, and they've done that. And we saw a couple of guys last night, Nurse and Klefbom. And, you know, Klefbom had a tough night, but I think he's got some, you know, he's got some ability. But that's certainly a need for them, Jeff. But you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, how many more games and losing seasons can guys like Nugent Hopkins and Hall and Eberle take, right? I mean, mm-hmm. they've been there for a while now. So, but I do believe that they're playing better. And I mean, I think that that's the only thing that I can really look at and go on when I watch them play. I think that they are playing a brand of game that needed to be played. I think they got some good size on their team. But I mean, are they a playoff team, you know, in the next 2 years? You know, I'm not so sure. You look at how tough the West is and how tough the Pacific is. I just think, eye test, Jeff, to me, they're playing better. And I think that's a direct result of, you know, last night. Look, I mean, they fought it for the part of the game that I saw. And I mean, Taylor Hall really, I mean, he looked like he really had a tough game, and all players have that. But, you know, I think that they're going in the right direction, and you're right, they don't have their best player. And, you know, I think look at their record and considering what's gone on, I know they're in last, but to me, I think that they are playing better, and that'd be a positive sign if I was a part of the organization.
And the one of the issues in Toronto, I was going to say issues, but that's probably putting too much of a spin on it, but here we are, December 1st, the calendar's turned over, and the Leafs won't fight anybody. They haven't had any fights.
Yeah.
Don Cherry doesn't like that, which, you know, for whatever the reason is. I mean, we know fighting's down in general in the NHL. I think that's except for Jonathan Toews. And you got to tell me what the hell's going on with Jonathan Toews before I ask you the question about the Leafs. What's going on with Jonathan Toews? What, he had three fights in his first until this year, and he's dropped the gloves three times. I don't know if you'd call them all three fights, but he's dropped the gloves three times in a month. What's going on there?
Yeah. I mean, two of them were scrapped. The other one, he just dropped his gloves and wanted to fight Kessler the other day, and the ref linesman got in there. I think it's a guy that is going to do whatever it is to ignite his team. I would call it leadership, trying to jumpstart and send the message, going through a tough time for a stretch himself offensively, still being a difference maker defensively and winning faceoffs, killing penalties. But, you know, that's one way. I mean, sometimes you got to take matters into your own hands, and, you know, he did it in a game against New Jersey and against Adam Henrique, and then he did it in a game, a rivalry game against the St. Louis Blues and David Backes. And, you know, the Hawks since that point, I think it picked up a point in every game since, except for, I think, two. So I think that's a stretch of 8 or 9 games. So I just think that's probably a little frustration for sure. But I think a guy that just gets it and couldn't have played in any era. And Jonathan Toews would have the same impact, today as he would have, 25, 30 years ago if he would play in that era as well.
All right, I'm going to ask you about the Leafs. Does that say anything to you that this team hasn't had a fight?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so. Again, I mean, not seeing every period and every
every
game, no. But, I mean, like it is a little, I would say it is a little surprising, but I mean, you know, who is going to be that guy? And has there been a mandate? Has there been any verbiage or whatever? I mean, I doubt it, but sometimes it just goes that way, and that's the way the game is going. And but you'd think at some point here somebody would run somebody, and somebody would get absolutely just angry, and somebody would drop the gloves and grab somebody and square off. But no, it doesn't. I don't think it sends any message, or it's just one of those things. And you never know. I mean, it could have games where you get back-to-back games where you have a couple of scraps, and then everybody will be talking about the about the fights happening, which we have had, which they haven't had all season.
Eddie, I'm going to let you run. Appreciate you doing this as always.
Okay, Jeff, have a great day. Thanks.
You too. That's Eddie Olchuk of the NHL and NBC. I mean, I really like what I've seen out of the Leafs so far. I've got to tell you, I didn't even realize they haven't had a fight, which is fine with me. I don't know if there's really much to fight over. I mean, have guys been taking liberties with anybody in the Leafs? Guys been running anybody in the Leafs? I don't know. I saw Dion Phaneuf throw a couple of hits last night, and I didn't think there was any need, for anything to develop after it. So, but it is interesting. I think, as Eddie Olchuk said, it's just one of those things. It really is. But when you think about what it used to be like here under Brian Burke, it was like roller derby on some nights, and you compare that to now. But again, I think it's really... The only thing I take out of it is a further sign that this really is a team in transition, that this really is a team trying to figure out what it has to do to keep happy a head coach who's here for 8 years. And you really, if you're a player and you like playing in this market and you want to be part of the Leafs for a while, it's pretty clear that the most important thing you can do try to figure out what Mike Babcock wants you to do. So I think that's part of the explanation for the whole thing. But again, I'm happy with what I've seen from this team. I really am. I don't know where this season's going to go. They're watchable. They're structure. They got some guys I like. No, they've got some guys, frankly, that you cheer for. I guarantee you, there isn't a Leafs fan in this city who isn't cheering for Garrett Sparks. And again, that doesn't mean that he's, you know, it doesn't mean we're seeing the next great Leafs goaltender. But it's kind of nice, isn't it, to wake up and get around the water cooler, wherever you are, talk about hockey, and have a very positive feeling about the team. And the beauty of this is, I think we've seen the Leafs fan base take the correct approach to this season. You get people calling up and saying this team has to tank because they've got to maximize their draft position. And, you know, you may not agree with that, but that's okay. That's okay if you feel that way. I understand why you feel that way. And in a perfect world, there might be something to be said for that. But I'll tell you what, I'd sure as hell rather have that discussion than the discussions you used to hear from Leafs fans about whether or not the two-game winning streak meant that the team had quote-unquote turned the corner. You know what? Leafs fans aren't even the slightest bit interested about turning the corner this year. They don't even know if the corner exists. They just want to see this team improve. They want to see this team give them some value. And I think what they really want to do is see this team return some of the emotional capital that they've invested, that they, the fans, have invested in the team. They want to see this team do something that makes them like them. You know, they want to see this team do something that says to them that all the faith they've had, that all the frustration they've felt, that there's a payoff for it. And I think nights like last night, and yeah, shutout win over the Oilers, a bad team. I think nights like last night, that's a little bit of the payoff. That's a little bit of the payoff. I'll tell you what, I'd sure as hell rather talk about Garrett Sparks' shutout in his NHL debut than another stinker from Jonathan Bernier. And I think most Leafs fans are like that too. You know who I'm dying to hear from?
The Leafs played last night, so you know what that means? Dangle Dial. The Dangle Dial is brought to you by Panago. Right,
here we go.
Live, love, and eat fresh pizza.
Jeff, good morning.
Oh, yeah, did you see that game last night?
Of course you did. Of course you did. And it's got to be a good
Sparks
morning for you.
Garrett Sparks is the man.
It's going to be a great morning for you because now you
me
know.
My Garrett
now you know,
Sparks
Jeff,
jersey.
You know for sure. You know exactly what to get me for Christmas. It's great. You got to get me a Toronto Maple Leafs Garrett Sparks jersey.
No, that's what I just said.
It's really that simple. Now, do I want white or blue? You know what? Let's
pink.
Go with white. You can get me a Garrett Sparks Marlies jersey in blue. And just throw in one of the purple, orange, whatever colors they wear, Orlando Solar Bears jersey with Sparks on the back, too. The guy cried.
The guy
after getting
did
a
cry.
Shutout in his NHL debut. He was named first star. He did it at the Air Canada Center. It was tears of joy instead of tears of sadness at the ACC. Jeff, I don't know how to process this. And if he's in a tandem with James Reimer, it is going to be the most adorable tandem of all time.
Adorable?
Oh, my God. The Toronto Maple Leafs are likable again. Jeff, help me.
They are. I can't. The man took the words right out of my mouth. The Dangle Dial's brought to you by Panago Pizza. Live, love, and eat fresh pizza. And you can check out the Steve Dangle blog at sportsnet.ca for his NHL videos and podcast, including a list of fun facts on Garrett Sparks. We are talking about Garrett Sparks this morning. No, we're not asking the question, is he a number one goalie or anything like that? But in honor of the fact that the Leafs left us feeling pretty good this morning, in honor of the fact that I think we may have somebody to cheer for in this team, and it may only be a temporary thing. That's fine. Doesn't matter. But got somebody to really like this morning on the Leafs. We're asking the question, when is the last time you got emotional about the Leafs? And what would it take for you to get emotional about the Leafs again? Mario in Scarborough, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Mario?
Morning, Jeff. How are you?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Long-time Leaf fan. I'm 52 years old. I was 4 years old the last time the Leafs won the Cup. And the early 90s was my best time that I enjoyed, the Gilmore years. But since then, it's been downhill, like we all know. But this year, like you said earlier, that it's actually refreshing that the structure is in place. I even told my wife, she doesn't believe me, but the structure is finally in place at all aspects of the organization. And seeing them play a few periods here and there this year, this is the first time ever I haven't watched a full game in my whole life. And my wife is still astonished at that. But the periods I have seen, you see structure, you see discipline. And you know what? It's about time. I look forward to the future. Last night was refreshing for the shutout, but I'm not getting excited until the season progresses, the next season, and go forward and keep the same structure. I'm just going to hang up and listen to your comment.
All right, you better take that call, too. Could be your wife. Mario, what the hell are you doing? Get off the phone! It's really the type of year to not overanalyze. To just enjoy. Enjoy, you know what it is? It's enjoy the simplicity of having a hockey team that you don't hate. That having a hockey team that isn't full of guys who really give you the impression that they don't like you. Enjoy having a hockey team with no drama. Just go with it. Enjoy being able to see Garrett Sparks. You know, treasure that. Remember that. Enjoy being able to see Morgan Riley develop and Jake Gardner develop and Nazem Kadri develop and maybe the odd spectacular goal. Steve Dangle actually made an interesting point about a goaltending tandem of James Reimer and Garrett Sparks. That is a pretty likable pairing. Again, from all we know. I mean, we don't know what guys do when they go home. We don't know how guys live their life, but James Reimer certainly seems to be a pretty stand-up dude. And again, Garrett Sparks, the story is great. You've got a goaltending tandem. Forget about Jonathan Bernier for now. He's not part of the future. Just forget about it. Put him on a shelf, put him up there, you know, and whenever. We'll deal with Jonathan Bernier at some point. But enjoy having players that you like. Enjoy having... You had a player break down and cry in front of you. Now think about that. Think about what that must have meant to Garrett Sparks. It was a guy who felt it was special to win his first NHL game. And do it in the Leafs jersey. That's pretty cool. I mean, I'm sorry. Cynical as I can be. That's pretty cool. And I love the way in all the interviews, you know, guys, I kind of choked that interview. I got nothing left. Don't ever be afraid. Do not ever be afraid to like somebody who's likable. Don't ever be afraid, regardless of how many years you've cheered for this team or any other team. Don't ever be afraid to cheer for the likable guy. Don't ever be afraid to cheer for the underdog. Don't ever be afraid to cheer for the good story. Enjoy it while you have it. 416-870-0590, *591-888-660-590. Continue to take your calls. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Love wants you, we can bring it on the floor. Never danced like this before. We don't talk about it, dance alone. Do the boogie all night long. Stoned in paradise.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show. Ben Nicholson-Smith, baseball editor of Sportsnet.ca, will join me at the top of the hour. Chris Johnson, senior hockey writer and insider for Sportsnet. He'll join us at 10:30, 11 o'clock. Howard Beck, national basketball writer for Bleacher Report. Guy covered Kobe Bryant for the better part of his career. He'll be along to join us. We'll talk about Kobe Bryant. And there may even be a Nick Van Exel sighting. Maybe. Kobe Bryant plays his final hometown game tonight in Philadelphia. As our Travis McKenzie put in brackets, unless the Lakers and Sixers play in the finals, in which case we will be in a parallel universe, to say the least. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Talking about Garrett Sparks and the Leafs last night. Garrett Sparks, you saw the on-ice interview after the game. You heard his interview with Chris Simpson of Sportsnet after the game. Pretty much broken up after getting a shutout in his NHL debut. And I don't know, when's the last time I watched a Leafs player be interviewed where I came away feeling really, really, I came away feeling like I just seen a human being in a very emotional moment. And I'm not going to put too much on one win in one game, especially against the Edmonton Oilers. And really, when I wrote my column for Sportsnet.ca after the draft suggesting the NHL should have fixed the draft so that Connor McDavid was in Toronto and not in Edmonton, was kind of tongue-in-cheek. After seeing that game last night, I think the NHL should have fixed the draft so Connor McDavid had ended up here. And I'm not saying that tongue-in-cheek. Connor McDavid is just going to go to waste in Edmonton. Story for another day. Even though Garrett Sparks' win came against a very bad Edmonton Oilers team. And even though in the long run, you don't really know whether or not it says anything about Garrett Sparks' future or the Leafs' future. Like I said, this is a season of compiling positive things. This is a season of putting together things that show us as fans and as media that all this talk about culture change is really kicking in. And you know what? When you had a team that was unlikable as the Leafs were last year, never mind how they weren't, that they were just unlikable. They were a team you hoped for bad things to happen to them for the most part. It's a big, big shift from that to Garrett Sparks and actually having guys that you can cheer for. So when's the last time the Leafs made you feel emotionally invested in them? What will it take to get that back? Alan Scarborough, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Al.
I got to tell you, the last time you probably felt that emotion was in 1992 when I think your caller mentioned it, when Doug Gilmore was here, Wendell Clark. I remember that game. I don't know what game it was where McSorley took out Gilmore's leg and he had to have some sort of shot to come back. And Wendell Clark took on McSorley in the fight there. What emotions we felt back then. But you know what? Garrett Sparks, he played really well. You're right. I agree with you. There's a lot of structure with this team and they're a lot of fun to watch. And I'm glad to see what's happening with this team. But, you know, I got to say, last year around this time with Nonis and Carlisle, we were trying to force-feed Bernier as a number one guy. And everybody was calling in saying that, you know what, he's the technically sound goalie and Reimer is not. Well, you know what, it's all coming to the wash now. You know what, Reimer is a much, much more stronger person mentally than Bernier is because everything Reimer's got and he still comes back and battles, and he reminds you of the Doug Gilmore and the Wendell Clark because of his heart. And Bernier, you know what? A few bad things, a few bad breaks, and you know what? The guy can't play anymore. So for me, I'm glad to see that Babcock is giving Reimer every chance to play because the guy's got heart. So I think everybody in this city, including yourself, owes him an apology. Anyway, I'll hang up and hear what you got to say.
I don't know if I ever really... Yeah, okay, if you want me to apologize to James Reimer, I will. I don't know what I'm apologizing for, but I'm in that type of mood today. He's a good Manitoba boy. I should apologize. I don't think anybody looks at James Reimer. Well, no, that's wrong. I'm going to say that I've spent this year, another year, saying I don't look at James Reimer as being a legit number one. I look at him at best, and I think I said this at the start of the year, that the James Reimer-Jonathan Bernier goaltending duel was the most useless goaltending duel or goaltending controversy in the history of the NHL, because essentially what we were seeing were two guys who were basically fighting it out to ultimately be the backup in Columbus 3 or 4 years down the road. Well, maybe I got to change it a little bit. I'm not going to run out James Reimer as, you know, my Vezina favorite. But I know this. One, I got a lot more time for him than I do for Jonathan Bernier. And two, I'm cheering for him. I hope he does well. I would love to see James Reimer and Garrett Sparks take this and run with it. Be thrilled with it. I don't care about Jonathan Bernier. Like I said, put him on the shelf. I mean, it is what it is. You know, it was another mistake by Dave Nonis. And the Leafs are going to have to live with that contractually. It's okay. Jonathan Bernier, forget about you. Garrett Sparks, James Reimer, let's run with it. Let's see where it goes. At least I got guys I can cheer for. I'm seeing that with this team. I'm getting an honest day's work. I'm getting a more professional effort. Things seem to make sense. I don't know how many of these guys are going to be around 2 or 3 years down the road. But here we are in the what? Third month of Mike Babcock's coaching. Roughly the third month. And you've got a team that you can like. When's the last time you felt that way? You're not calling me and complaining about Dion Phaneuf and why he can't be your captain. You're not calling me and complaining about Nazem Kadri and what a stiff he is. You're not calling and complaining about how Tyler Bozak can be nobody's definition of a number one center. Because we're all just kind of dealing with this together. Just, if not necessarily enjoying the ride because of the exciting scenery, we're enjoying the ride because the car is comfortable. We're not driving a sports car. We're not driving a big-ass luxury SUV. We're all just kind of crammed into a nice, comfortable family car driven by Mike Babcock. Stephen Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good, good.
The previous caller actually took my thunder away with the Gilmore-Clark incident, so that pretty much would bring up my my last emotion when I saw Clark come in there, you know, no questions asked, you know, that team, they played for each other. And which brings me to my next point is, here you got this kid coming up to play, and Bernier unfortunately can't stop a beach ball, and when he gets interviewed, he comes up with no comment on this kid. Here's this kid, puts up a goose egg in one game. For the time he's been here, Bernier, he's done nothing. He's terrible. They got to get rid of him. For a bag of pucks, 12 water bottles, whatever the case is, eat his contract, get that jersey off his back, and give this kid a shot.
Yeah, you know, I think what they can do, quite frankly, is they can give this kid a shot and just, again, just forget about Jonathan Bernier. I don't know, maybe somebody takes him off your hand. I can't imagine. I can't imagine who would do it. I mean, you would have to, it would have to be a team, it would have to be a team that has four goaltending injuries. Now, maybe there's somebody out there who still thinks they can reinvent the wheel. Maybe one of those goaltending gurus thinks they can reinvent the wheel. And maybe you take a shot at them. But right now, to me, you're under no pressure to do anything with this guy. I hate to say you let him rot, but if you have to, you let him rot. He's had his chance. He hasn't taken advantage of it. He sucks the life out of the team when he's on the ice. I just really and truly don't care about Jonathan Bernier. Victor in Milton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff. You know what? Just one name for you, Nikolai Borshevsky.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that call by Joe Bowen. But here's the thing. You're not getting many calls because people have not only lowered their expectations, they've eliminated altogether. Like, I have, I mean, ambivalence don't even describe how I feel about this team. And I think things like this will start to happen because they're not playing with any kind of pressure. And it was a masterful job bringing Babcock in here because basically we're just watching without any kind of root and interest, so to speak. But what they are doing is they're in the process of building a bandwagon. They're they're in one right now. And I think people like me who just watching, just, you know, I'm curious and I'm happy for the kid. But I think once this bandwagon is built, and I think it's going to happen, I think Babcock and Lamoriello, I think these guys want to make the playoffs. Don't let them fool you. And I think once that bandwagon is built, you watch out on many people, including myself, going to start jumping on. That's my comment. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't think they care whether or not they make the playoffs. I also don't think they care whether or not they end up maximizing their draft position. What they care about is making things better, making things in the dressing room better, making things in terms of the organization's public image better. And wherever that leads them is where they'll go. And I'll tell you this much. Considering how much we hated the 2014-2015 Toronto Maple Leafs and how much we couldn't wait for them to get the hell out of town, get off our doorstep, to be sitting here on December 1st and finding reasons to cheer for this team, to cheer for them. And look, I hope, I want nothing but the best for Garrett Sparks and James Reimer. I really do. I would like to see this team be successful because I think it's way more fun. It gets tiresome covering a team that sucks all the time, especially when it sucks with people who are just, you know, unlikable as a group. I'd much rather have a team you can cheer for. I'd much rather have a team that provides the drama on the ice as opposed to off the ice. But like I said, right now, I'm just enjoying the ride. Comfortable car. Scenery's not great. The ride's been pretty smooth. And every now and then you find out something about the car that makes you think, damn, this thing is, you know what? I don't know if I could drive this thing for the rest of my life, but this thing's a lot better than I thought it would be. And the ride's a lot smoother than I thought it would be. Ben Nicholson-Smith is baseball editor at sportsnet.ca. He's co-host of the At the Letters podcast. He will be part of our team in Nashville next week at the winter meetings. And Ben Nicholson-Smith joins us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on the home of the Blue Jays, Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.